Welcome to the Lovumentary, episode number 2. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Nate Bagley, and this week we have some big news. The podcast can officially be found on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search for The Lovumentary. Then you can click the subscribe button, and every Sunday, a new episode will automatically be downloaded to your music library. Hooray, Internet! Also, if you are interested in being a guest, or you know a couple that you think would rock the Internet with their lovely insights, whether they're old or young or newlyweds or almost deads, doesn't matter to me. I feel like I can learn anything from anybody at any stage in their relationship. Just drop me a line at loveumentary.com/contact or loveumentary@gmail.com, and we will make something happen. So, this episode number 2, was actually a blast to record. Had a lot of fun recording it. My guests this week are Chandler and Candace, and they are a lovely couple. They've been married for 6 months, and this episode really, it was great all the way through, but my favorite part starts about halfway in. There were so many times that I wanted to just start yelling, "Yes! All the things that you are saying, I have been thinking." But I'm glad I didn't yell those things, because I would have been rudely interrupting, and some of my favorite parts from this episode may have never come to existence. So you're welcome for keeping my mouth shut. There's actually a point in this podcast where Chandler talks about Christmas and Disneyland and puppies, and it's really awesome, and you can just hear him get super excited and happy and passionate, and I love it, and it's moments like that that make this whole project worth it for me. So I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. Out of my basement, and every day I see the same cat walk past my window with a dead pigeon in its sick mouth. Every single day it walks by with a pigeon. I'm like, where are you putting all these pigeons? I have no idea.
That's impressive.
It's really disturbing. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, someday you're gonna like step in something that crunches.
Oh, that's like, gross.
Oh man.
Just find some pigeon bones.
Yeah.
Gross.
Well, on that note. Welcome to the Lovumentary, guys. Do you want to tell everybody your names?
Yeah.
We're recording now, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I figured out what I was doing wrong.
Okay. I'm Candace.
I'm Chandler.
We're the Egberts.
Yeah. And you guys are in love, right? That's what I hear.
Of course.
Super in love.
Yes. That's why we're here.
How did you guys... I know Candace from school, obviously, but this is the first time that I met Chandler. How did you guys meet each other?
That's funny, because we don't actually really know.
Yeah, we don't remember the first time we met. I'm a student at BYU, and she was a student at UVU. She's graduated now, but she ended up moving into the apartment complex where her cousin lives, which is the same one where I lived. And a couple months later, I moved out of the ward, but she was living with some of my friends, these girls that I just became good friends with. And I would go back and occasionally visit them, just talk. And Candace was always there, and she was just always really nice. And it was just always small talk, like, oh, how's it going? And
yeah, it wasn't love at first sight, for sure. We don't even know when.
Oh, I thought she was cool and cute, yeah. But... I didn't really pursue anything for several months.
Dating other people, but we were good friends with each other.
Oh, yeah. I was dating her roommate's sister. And
and I was off and on with some guy. And
yeah, it is funny. I actually, I think we found out that I was jogging by you one night when you were having a conversation with him.
Yeah.
A serious conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another night I was sitting outside of her door, like on the steps with
his girlfriend,
with the girl I was dating. And Candace came home from grocery shopping and she saw us and she didn't want to like disturb us. So she kind of sneaking by with all her groceries in her hands. And then all of a sudden she trips. She was trying not to bother her, but no. She tripped and all her groceries just went flying everywhere. And she just started laughing because she was so embarrassed.
Little did you know.
So.
Yeah. You just tripped in front of your future husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of little moments. We don't, but I do remember the first time I actually like noticed you as someone I'd be interested in.
Tell the story.
It was December 1st. It really was. December 1st, Chandler just came over for one of his usual chats just to see how we were doing in our apartment.
This was after we had had a first date, though.
This was after our first date, and nothing had really... I mean, we were friends, but it was like a friend date.
I had given up on pursuing her. After our first date, I liked her, you know, and I kind of pursued her, but I, you know, a bunch of stuff happened. And
I wasn't giving him the time of day very well, yeah. But it wasn't on purpose. But
so
anyway.
I gave up, and then she invited me over randomly one night. I got a text. I was like, okay, fine, whatever.
He just came over, and we were just chatting a ton, and everyone eventually, like, started going off to bed. Like, we were all chatting at first, like, yeah. My roommates and Chandler, and everyone just started going to bed, and we ended up staying... Way
just
past curfew. Yep.
Past curfew.
Way past curfew. Yeah.
Staring into each other's eyes. And you're like, oh, maybe.
But
oops.
Really, it was that night that my sister was like, you guys are cute together. And I was like, I could see that. Yeah. You were just so handsome all of a sudden. And I just
all of a sudden.
Yeah, she always says that. I don't know what happened, but apparently I looked
well,
really
it's
good
like
that
I
night.
Finally just saw you in a different light. I don't know. It's like I finally, like, saw you as more than a friend, that you were just a really good guy and that I wanted to always be with a good guy. So, yeah. Why not?
So then you guys dated?
Yeah.
A few days. Well, we saw each other every day after that. And
pretty much every day since then.
Yeah, with like, what, like 4 days that we haven't seen each other since then.
Christmas, sadly.
So, it was just like within days, like by that was like a Tuesday night or something. And by Saturday, I think we had decided that we wanted to date exclusively.
Yeah. So,
that's quick.
After she had rejected me.
But when you know, you know.
Well, we'd been friends for a while, so it just took us to realize
that we
actually wanted to spend time with each other individually. So,
yeah.
So what is it about the other person that you think made you fall hard? Because, I mean, obviously both of you had dated other people in the past, so, like, what's different now than...
Sometimes I go back and I still think about that, and I wonder. And, like, I think with... Everybody else I had dated, I could always picture like being single again and, you know, like being free,
right?
But, with,
I do know very well,
yeah, actually,
the feeling of freedom and being single.
Yeah. So, and it was always like, it wasn't always fun, like breaking up with somebody, but like there was that little feeling of like, okay,
release.
I'm myself again. I just always felt myself with Candace. Like I didn't feel like I had to change anything or be any different. And, anytime I did like picture myself being single, like breaking up with Candace, like there's no way I could picture it. Like I just pictured sadness and depression and not just the kind of like, oh, you know, break up, boohoo, whatever. It was just like, I can't do this. There's no way I could be without her. So, and I know that's, you know, kind of cliche, but it's hard to, even now looking back, it's hard to just pinpoint one thing that, that made me just fall in love.
Well, I think it was the same for me too. Like I could be myself with Chandler, but, I think it was also the fact that I could communicate with him. Like some people, like I felt like I was myself with them, but just because I was comfortable with myself, and you can have that. But with Chandler, it was like, I could be myself. And even though we're different, we could communicate. Like we talk out everything. And that's, I think what I fell in love with was the fact that we could talk about anything and everything. And so, Yeah, it was just easy, like hard things, funny things.
The funny thing is, though, about communication is that people have made fun of us because they listen to us try to communicate, and they're like, you guys are terrible communicators.
We're awkward. And,
yeah, but the thing is, like, that may be true, but at the same time, we still try. And
we understand each other.
And it eventually gets across, and, you know, we have the patience with each other. We don't just, you know, just blow each other off because, you know, for whatever reason.
Right. Yeah. So you said communication was, like, a big deal for you, that you guys could communicate through things. Can you give, like, an example of a time where... maybe in the past, I don't know how to explain this, but like in the past, maybe you wouldn't have been able to communicate something and work it out. You would have just given up and walked away. But maybe in this circumstance, you guys were able to figure out a solution. I was talking to a couple this week, and they told me that they had gotten in a fight, and that I just got an email, and the guy was like, you know, sometimes you just can't give up and walk away. Like that's part of what love is you have to just understand that sometimes things get difficult, and you just have to realize that you love each other, and you can put your emotions aside and figure things out. Whereas I think, it's really easy these days to find an excuse to just walk away. Like, and now, even now these days, it's easy to find an excuse when you're in a serious commitment.
Yeah. You know, that's true.
I agree with that. Like, it's very easy to find excuses. Like, and I'm sure Candace gets frustrated too sometimes, because I can be annoying. But like, if something happens, you know, we're two different people. We've grown up, you know, we've grown up with the same religion and mostly the same background, but just completely different lives and experiences. And so we do have different, wants at times and different expectations and, of whatever, you know, not of each other, but of anything. And it can be hard sometimes. Just naturally, sometimes you just want to like, just be like, whatever, you know,
right.
and walk away, just like, what you were saying. But, I just keep going back to what I said before and how I couldn't bear to just leave it at that and just walk away. Like,
right.
You know, that's my pride talking, but I would never like want to just walk away putting my pride before Candace, 'cause I know I'd be miserable and regret it for the rest of my life.
So taking two lives and putting them together is like super hard from what I hear.
Yeah.
Obviously it's totally word of mouth for me.
Yeah. Well,
can you guys tell me about, how you've done that successfully? Like, what are some of the things that were a little bit hard to adapt to at first, and how have you dealt with that?
Well, first of all, we're different genders, so that's hard just because we have different focuses and things we enjoy. But, I think when you first start dating someone, you find things that you're similar in, and we enjoy similar things. So we try and focus on those things, I guess. But I don't know. I think it's just being willing to compromise and, like you said, not getting your pride in the way. Just,
What's the time that he's compromised for you?
Top of my head. Well, when I get emotional or whatever, and Chandler just wants to do something, instead of just sit there and talk about it or cry about it, whatever us girls do, he'll still sit there and listen and comfort me. And I don't know. And to me, that means a lot, because I mean, I'm a girl, and sometimes I need, like, I don't know, time to talk things out instead of just find the solution. Like, they always say that about men. They just want to find the solution and fix it.
Yeah.
But sometimes Chandler's willing to give up that and just be willing to listen. And I think that's really nice that he's willing to, like, be there for me when I need something. Yeah. And I try and do the same. But
yeah,
what are you going to say?
That is a really hard thing, the difference in gender, because it's true. That has happened, and I do. My first thought is just like,
you know. How can like, I fix this?
He's trying to say this and not get himself in the doghouse. Yeah. Just get over it.
Okay, yeah. It's my first. Yeah. Sometimes that's it. It's like, why are you crying? Like, this, nothing's happening, and that's my first thought at times. But I think a huge part of what helps me is that I really really want Candace to have what she wants. Like, as people, or, you know, me as a person, and I just say as people because I imagine everybody's like this, but, you know, I know what I want, and so I go for that. But I just love Candace so much, and she's, you know, a part of my life now, and I'm doing my best to learn to want what she wants so that she gets what she wants. And I don't mean that in like, I'm going to spoil her type of thing. I, you know, I want to, but I mean that in that, when she is going through a tough time and I don't understand it at all, like I just try to do my best to just push my wants out of the way. Whatever I'm thinking as a man, like, okay, let's fix this and move on. Like, just try to push that out of my mind the best I can, and just be like, okay, what's really wrong? What is she going through? What does she want right now? To like, how does she want to feel? What is she feeling? And it's a really, really hard thing, 'cause I still have no idea most of the time, but it does help me to just wait. And just be patient.
Well, I think it's because, I mean, it goes back to the fact that we're committed to each other. And, I don't know, in past relationships, you'd be tempted to just walk away. Like, you'd be okay with being single again or whatever. But with each other, we know we want to stick it out. We know we want to make it work. So we have to spend that time to step back from ourselves and focus on the other person, I guess.
What are the things that you love most about Chandler?
It's not an easy question.
Oh, it's super easy. No. Chandler is a really good friend. That's one of the first things I fell in love with, I think.
I love that you just friend-zoned your
No. Not friend-zone. Beyond the friend-zone. But,
we're just good friends. I love you, but we're friends first.
But really, no, we are friends first, and we care about each other. And I love that Chandler cares about so many people. I see him, like, just the other day, this conversation we were having with someone that I found it kind of hard to talk to this person, but Chandler was just being as friendly as possible. And like, that sounds kind of vague, but he, in general, is just always asking about other people and wanting to be a good person and a good friend, and I admire that in him. So I think it's just things that I see in him that I want to be like.
Sounds like he's a naturally selfless guy.
Yeah.
And I'm finding, as I talk to more people about relationships in general, that the selflessness really is a huge key component into having a healthy, happy relationship.
That's true.
When people get selfish, I think the self-destruct button hits.
Yeah,
and the thing is, like, I may appear as a selfless guy, like, on the surface, like, first time you meet me, whatever, but Candace is living with me every day, and so she gets to see all sides of me, and I do have my selfish moments, but she still sees me as a selfless person, I guess, you know, just listening to her, and that, I think, is really key.
That's well, awesome. I think it's, like, it's the same thing we've been talking about, like, the purpose of this. You want to focus on the positive in your spouse or in the person you're dating. Otherwise, I mean, obviously you don't want to blind yourself to the bad things, but they always say, like, go into dating with your eyes wide open and then go into marriage with your eyes half closed. Like, be willing to, like, I don't know, be willing to compromise and
overlook some things
and overlook, like, their weaknesses. 'Cause I have weaknesses. Chandler has weaknesses. So there are times when I just,
you guys don't have weaknesses.
Oh, I totally do. Chandler would tell you that too.
Let me tell you about our weaknesses.
I'm just kidding. No, do tell. Tell me about weaknesses.
Yeah, but we're weak, but together I think we make each other stronger. Like, whatever I don't have, Chandler can help me with, and I hope that I can compliment what he has, too. I don't know. He's helped me a lot to be patient. I'm not a patient person. I'm very much a, let's do this right now, go get her, whatever, but Chandler is always thoughtful and patient with everything.
So she says that, but the thing is, like, these things she's saying about me, I see in her as well. So there's, and she says she doesn't have them, but I don't know.
From you.
Well, no. Because, you know, she said she sees me as a selfless person, but that's what I saw in her. I saw her as somebody who would talk to anybody and just, you know, small talk with anybody, and just she would smile when she talked to them and just be genuinely interested and curious about people. And, you know, that's something I really loved in the beginning. I was like, she's awesome to talk to, you know, and I did have a lot of small talk with her, and I loved it every time. I was going to say something about what you just said about me, but I don't remember what you said. or being patient. She's always saying I'm patient, but I feel like in a lot of ways, she's patient about a lot of things, about people and how they act, you know, because in our eyes, sometimes people are just dumb, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you see people do silly things all the time, but sometimes it just turns you the wrong way and you're just like, people are dumb. But I feel like she handles it very well when she's faced with uncomfortable situations sometimes.
So. Thanks, Chandler.
So earlier, Candace, you mentioned that one of the things that kind of attracted you to each other is that you had some common interests. Mm. Do you guys still pursue some of those interests, or
yeah,
like, what are some of the things that you guys do together? I know before we went on, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I want you to answer, but I want to preface with, before we started talking, recording, yeah, you guys told me about your day off yesterday and what you did.
Oh yeah. that was what Chandler wanted to do, but I decided that I wouldn't. I decided it would be fun too. Well, okay, we like simple, fun things. We don't like to spend money, which is, you know, kind of everybody. You wanna have money at the
but
end
like
of the month.
But like everybody else, yeah, we wish we could spend money.
But yeah, what we like to do, this is kind of funny, but maybe you can talk about this, but Chandler likes to plan vacations that will eventually go on someday, hopefully. But we plan them as if we're going to go, and it's so fun just to imagine doing things together. And yeah. I don't know. That's one thing. But we also like to go to concerts together. Any live performance, we love. We've gone to a bunch of random things. We've been to, I don't know, dance things, because I'm a dancer. He's started to enjoy that, and I've been to other
watching
things.
It,
and
not doing it.
I'm not, yeah.
No.
Don't do ballet.
Well, we did take dance lessons once.
Oh, we did tango lessons one night. That was fun.
Yeah. But we like to go out and do things. Free concerts. We're all about free concerts. We even went and saw an oboe concert, which was interesting, but it's something to talk about.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah. That's probably the big thing. I mean, our first date, we went to this percussion ensemble concert at BYU, and some of it was cool, some of it was really weird, but we just love live performance. We love to see people's talents, you know, whether it be music. We mostly do music stuff or dance, but I don't know.
It's just fun. Going out on the town together. We actually said this last night. We didn't know what we wanted to do, so we were like, oh, let's go walk around the mall. Maybe we'll see what we want for Christmas.
You guys went mall walking.
So we went mall walking, and both of us said something to the tone of like, well, I'm so excited to be seen with you in public. Like, we just love to be out in public with each other.
Yeah, we don't do it enough.
Yeah.
So we
I like
it.
To be seen holding.
And you guys were playing N64 yesterday, right?
N64, yeah.
Yeah, we really aren't gamers.
That's okay.
But it was fun. We played a little bit last Sunday.
We smack talk each other a
Yeah,
little
we smack
bit.
Talk each other, challenge each other, like throw downs and stuff. I won. She was winning,
I was
but
close
I pulled
to winning.
Ahead in the end.
But it was fun. It was just simple fun. We got hot chocolate. Made
oh, yeah.
A date.
Yeah, we just sat on the floor with our hot chocolate, licorice,
yeah,
chocolate chips.
Oh, that sounds good. Do you guys go on a regular date? Like, do you have a date night or?
We don't have a designated date night, but we
try and do something once a week.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah,
at least.
And it's been more challenging since school started, but I feel like we've still done it, whether it be just time together at home doing something together or going out to do something.
Do you guys take turns planning, or do you ask her on a date? Or?
No, we sometimes, like last night, we just kind of showed up, and I mean, you know, we were both here, and we're just like, let's do something. So, but yeah, sometimes we do, you know, ask each other on a date. We don't necessarily take turns planning. We just kind of go if she has an idea.
We just play off of each other's ideas.
Yeah.
So the mall was my idea, and then we played Nintendo after that.
Yeah, that was my idea.
Do you guys have goals, like goals as a couple?
Yeah, we've actually been working on that. I think this is actually like an interesting challenge because marriage is quite a transition. And I think, and I graduated at the same time we got married, basically.
How long have you guys been married?
6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
6 months and a couple
newlyweds
days.
Then. Yes.
Yeah, newlyweds.
Still learning.
But I think for the first little while, it was like we were just kind of getting adjusted to each other. And so, and just getting adjusted to being married, like this new lifestyle. It's just new, sharing your life with someone and wanting to. What was your original question?
Goals.
Yeah. I think just barely recently we've been trying to like set goals together because we're like, you know, we can be better than we are and we want to be better together.
We have set goals in the past. Yeah. But we just...
I think you just need to keep setting goals because, I mean...
They change. And we try not to beat ourselves up if we don't reach certain goals. Because some of them are just small goals, like more exercise.
Which we did this morning.
We worked out this morning. There are important... So goals can change, and there are certain goals that are really important that you have to just keep setting. Because you try them, fail, you just got to do it again. You can't just say this isn't working and then stop.
Does it help to have somebody to push you?
Oh yeah. I think Chandler's help. Like I get down on myself sometimes just because I'm like, what is this new life? I'm not in school anymore. I'm married. Like where did my social life go? Whatever. But, Chandler's always encouraging me to like find the next thing that I enjoy. And I think that's good just because, I mean, we want to enjoy the rest of our lives together and beyond. So we have to go with the transitions together. And I think it helps just because Chandler's always encouraging.
That's good. I know there's a lot of people who struggle with, a lot of husbands pin their wives down sometimes, maybe even unintentionally, but they don't give them that freedom or that encouragement to pursue their interests. And it's really cool that you guys do that, I think.
Well, yeah, I think you have to. I mean, we're here for each other, but you also have to have your own life too. And if you don't enjoy your own life, you won't really enjoy being.
And it's easy to get sucked into just obsessing over your life together and not take that time for yourself. And I think you can become resentful. I'm speaking from my experience. When I've been in a smothery relationship in the past, I get resentful because I start wanting my own time, but I feel obligated to do everything with that other person. Maybe that's just because I haven't found the right person to do everything with. I don't know. So I was talking to my brother this last week, who just got married a few weeks ago, and he's like, he said, as they were getting ready to get married, a lot of people were like giving him a hard time about, oh, are you going to back out? Or, oh, are you ready for this? And, you know, he told me, he's like, I didn't understand what they were talking about. You know, everybody talks about how you struggle as a new couple and it's difficult. And he's like, I love her so much that I couldn't envision fighting or going through a hard time or struggling with something. I was just like, oh, I just love her so much. Like, we're never going to fight. Nothing's ever going to happen. And then they got married and moved in together. And he's like, I didn't realize all the weird things. And he gave me one example. He said, you know, my whole life we've grown up eating sliced cheese, like pre-sliced. And he's like, she grew up, they bought a block of cheese and cut pieces off. And he's like, it's a really small example of a lifestyle change that he had to undergo.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though the two families are fairly similar, you know, we grew up in the same area and same religious background, same socioeconomic class and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's now having to deal with those little quirky things where he's like, oh yeah, we don't have pre-sliced cheese. I have to slice my own cheese. Like, it's just like, it's a small thing, but I think I never really understood, the kind of transition it would really require to move in with somebody who's and share your life with somebody whose background is completely different.
Yeah.
Sometimes we make fun of each other for different things.
Like what?
He has something in mind.
I was trying to think of a specific example, but like, I don't know.
I'm just like, why do you do it like that?
Yeah. Like oh, you do that. I mean, I feel like we'll just keep learning new things about each other, small things that she grew up doing or I grew up doing that the other didn't. Yeah. And
Well, yeah, so we've only been married 6 months, so we're coming up on our first Christmas actually married. We spent Christmas holiday together last year, but we weren't married, and we basically spent it with our families. But, so we're like, what do we do for Christmas? We don't even know, like...
Yeah, we're like talking, what does your family usually do? And I'm like, I don't know.
You guys get to start your own new traditions.
Yeah.
What are you thinking of?
I don't know. Well, we talked about just doing stockings and, I don't know, not really having a huge, huge Christmas, but we just want to spend time with
each other. Just barely decided where we're going to be for Christmas.
Yeah. Both of our parents live out of state, so we have to decide one or the other. We can't go to both, so.
Yeah. So.
Is that hard?
It's a tough decision, mostly. Like, between us, we don't care other than the fact that we don't want to block out either of our families.
Yeah.
And so, and both of our parents have been pretty good about it. They
like, we won't be offended if you don't come, but in the end it's like, if we spend all of our time with one of,
still you want to show them you love them. Like, and it's not like I want to spend all the time with my family and Candace wants to spend all the time with hers. Like, I want to spend time with her family too. And she wants to spend time with my family. And
it's just how to balance it, I guess.
Yeah. So it's more an outside factor rather than between us. So
how do you guys make those tough decisions? Is there like,
we talk about it a lot.
We talk about it a lot, and maybe we should like be better about, like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes we rehash things so many times and it's like, well, nothing has really changed, so we should just decide. But we always want to make the right decision. So sometimes maybe we overtalk things, but it's always better to overtalk than undertalk.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the reason that happens is because it's not like we have, for certain things, we haven't just sat down and just talk it out for, you know, an hour or whatever and make a decision. We just kind of talk as we're doing other things, and that's why it comes up so much.
I think in the end, making big decisions like where to spend Christmas or whatever, we just try and find a balance just because we don't really know what to do. So it's like, well, then we should try and spend time with both families. So what we're doing is we're spending Thanksgiving with my family and Christmas with his family. So that was the best thing we could come up with. And we're like, well, how is that going to balance out next year's or whatever? Yeah. And it's like, well, we can't really see that far ahead. So let's just decide now.
You'll figure out next year when next year gets here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. And we already know, I mean, we have a good idea next year. We'll probably just do the opposite next year. And then from then on out, we'll just do whatever happens.
If it changes, it changes.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. We're not going to like commit to, you know, doing every other year with this family or whatever. So, I mean, assuming we were to go somewhere else every year.
So having just been through and still kind of going through the newlywed phase, and obviously the dating phase.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to people like me who are single, or maybe people who are just starting out in a relationship? Like, what's the best thing that they can do for themselves to be prepared for something like what you guys have? Because obviously you're in a healthy relationship. You have great communication. You're in love with each other. And I think that's what people ultimately want. So you guys are like living the dream. So what is it? What advice would you guys, tell me or people like me to do?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. I was going to let you go first, but if you don't have anything, I think there are a couple of things that happen often that prevent success in, I guess, finding a spouse. One is that you focus too much on yourself and it's all about what you want. And this is what I think is common. I haven't done any studies. The other I think is that you spend too much time thinking about finding the right person, and I think that trips a lot of people up because when the whole dating process of you know, courting between Candace and I started, I had decided that I was just going to live my life as if I wasn't going to be married for a long time. And it wasn't like, I wasn't like, you know, like boo hoo, I'm never going to get married, whatever, you know, cut myself off from the world. But it was a decision. I was just like, you know, I just need to live a good life alone because that's where I am right now. I can't pretend to be something somewhere that I'm not in my life, and or long after something I don't have. And that didn't mean that I just was going to stop dating. It just meant that I wasn't going to hinge everything in my life on that, whether or not I was right. with somebody. The other decision was to not be selfish, not live my life alone as if I was, you know, it was all about me. I was going to focus on, working hard in school, getting a good education, improving myself as much as I can. But, to what end? Like, am I doing it for myself or am I doing it for those around me? And that's not an easy thing. I'm not saying I was good at it or anything, but once my focus shifted, in those two areas, I felt very different, from any time in my life before. And then all of a sudden, Candace came along and it was weird. Like, I was just like, I had to like check myself,
this shouldn't be working.
Yeah. I was like, why is this going on? Like, I don't know. It was just weird. And I had to write down the things I loved about Candace. I kept track of them in my phone because I would get to the point where I was just like, this is too good to be true. And then I would look at my phone and I'd be like, this is all true. All these things I love about her. It's, I'm not making this up. And you know, I would just keep going back and reminding myself that this is real. It's not just some weird, like, fluke thing in my life, like another girl that just won me over for the next couple months or whatever. But, yeah, so I don't know if that's clear, but
no, that's totally clear. Things. I like that okay. a lot.
Yeah, well, I think we were kind of in the same boat. Like, I was kind of ready to be done dating too because of various situations. I was just like, whatever. And so I was kind of just deciding to focus on myself and bettering myself. And that's kind of how, like, it's weird how we just kind of fell in each other's laps. But I think it's good, like, I don't know if all girls do this, but they make a list of what they want in a spouse, you know? And it's like, and I don't know if guys do it, I don't know. But they make a list of what they want. And I think it's good to have certain things that you won't bend on because you want to marry someone who's what you want and even better. And that's what Chandler is. Like, he has way more things than the list that I had, but you also have to be willing to give on some things. And I think, like, I don't know, I wanted my husband to be brunette, which is weird, but and he is brunette. I was like, I got everything I wanted, but some things, like, I'm trying to think of something that you, I don't know, but you do have to be willing to give on some things, and you'll realize that maybe after you get married, I don't know, but, I don't know. It's realizing that this is the best thing that you've had. You want to make it work. So be willing to maybe sacrifice some things that you want that are important, but they don't really matter. But they're just the way that you grew up, you know? Like,
right.
Sometimes you just do things. There's more than one right way to do things. There's a lot more than one. So it's just realizing that, you know, he can do things a certain way. I can do things a certain way. And it's okay. And it's okay if they're different. And I actually enjoy learning our differences because, I don't know, it's like me seeing the world in a whole new light because I just didn't realize that things could be so good and so different. I think people are afraid of change. I'm one of those, especially Chandler. Sometimes he's like, why are you just so afraid of change? Just go for it. But like, I think people are afraid of change and they're afraid of maybe committing to something that's different. But if you have all the most important things, then all the little things don't really matter as much. They'll just fall into place, I guess.
So when you say at the beginning, you said you wanted to start focusing on bettering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What specifically did you do? Like,
I think it was kind of like what Chandler was saying, just not being a victim of my life, not being like, oh, I'm in this situation because this didn't work out, or I'm in this situation, I'm single because, I don't know, because people are dumb or because yeah. There just aren't enough good people out there or whatever. But I think I just decided to tell myself that, you know, I can choose to be happy in whatever situation I'm in. And I think that comes across to people. Like, it's not like I told Chandler I made a change in my life. And I'm like, well, I'm happy now. You know, I think you just see it in someone if they've decided to be happy with their life. And then I think if you decide to be that person, then you'll find someone who's equally happy. And together, it just multiplies and you're super happy. I don't know. I don't know if that was said.
So at this point in your relationship, would you say you believe true love exists?
Yeah.
Yeah. How would you describe it?
Oh, it's just joy. I don't know. Love is a hard word. But
I'm asking the hard questions.
Yeah. That's okay. Are. That's okay.
I'm trying to think of like the happiest, most common things that people recognize. And I'm just thinking like, okay, think about the happiest aspects, because I realize there are not so happy aspects, but the happiest aspects of Christmas and what that's all about. Disneyland.
And puppies.
And puppies.
It's all that.
Wrap it all together.
So it's Christmas at Disneyland full of puppies.
Oh, yeah.
No. I don't know. It's
I can
really
relate to that.
Yeah, and it's hard to come up with something that everybody can recognize, and that's what you want. You like, I just want people to recognize what it is and that it does exist, because I feel like just talking to some people, there are just really some skewed ideas of what it is, and it's not like that. It's really good, and it's not. It's a hard thing in that it requires work. It requires an effort on our both our parts. It requires selflessness and time and wanting what she wants.
The reward is great.
But the reward, yeah, you know, it's an investment, and it's the best investment you can ever make in your life. You put in a lot, but what you get back is so much more than what you put in. And there's nothing better.
I think it's just fulfilling. Like, I don't know, sometimes you have a good meal and it's like, oh, that was so great, but then it's over. Like, leftovers aren't as good, you know. But in a relationship, in a marriage relationship, like every day is new and amazing, and it's like, I can't wait to wake up next to Chandler. I can't wait to see him when he comes home from school. Like, I just am always excited for the next thing, and it's not because it's always going to be easy, but just because like we get to do it together, and like just always knowing that he's going to be the one that I'm going to share everything with, not anyone else. And, you know, maybe some people along the road eventually will have kids, but in the end, it's just between us. And I love it that my life gets to be shared with him. Who wants to enjoy something all by themselves? You know, you don't want to go on vacation all by yourself. You don't have anyone to share the memories with. Maybe you do.
I've done that. It's not very much fun.
Yeah, and it's fun, but it can be so much better. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it is sunshine and rainbows and whatever you said.
Christmas and Disneyland with a bunch of puppies. That was a terrible visual, but
no, it was great.
Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. So is our home.
Can be. Yeah. And that's the thing as well, you know, the whole Disneyland thing was a joke, but you go to a place like that, you know, named the happiest place on earth, and you can have a miserable experience because of what you decide to do and what you decide to focus on. Bad things happen. And
you wait in line forever.
Yeah. You wait in line forever. You focus on that and you're going to have a miserable experience.
Same
exact thing with marriage. And, you know, because it's not easy. We do have hard times and times where my weaknesses come out, and I'm not the best husband I could be for Candace. You know, but she doesn't focus on that. She focuses on, I really feel like Candace, it's not like she wants more from me. I feel like she wants to do more for me. And I feel the same way. I don't feel like I'm constantly just like, okay, I wish she would, you know, be more this way or do this more or whatever. But I genuinely feel like I want to do more regularly for her, or what can I do to be, you know, the best husband for Candace. And I think it helps a lot. I know it helps a lot. Yeah. It's awesome. Cause you know, in the week, in the weakness, I, you know, have selfish moments and I just feel miserable. And, I don't let those times last long because I, like I said before, I take a look at what I have and, what I would be giving up if I were to let that just sit and fester. Yeah. And there's no way it's worth it.
There's no better alternative yeah. than being with each other. So all those other things can fall away.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are great. Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming over.
You guys.
It's good to reminisce.
It was so, you guys are, you're a wise couple. And I'm sure you have a long and happy future together. So.
Thanks.
Yeah. I think so.
It's just starting.
Cool. Well, maybe since you guys are so young, or not so young, but so newlywed.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to do a follow up one day.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll work that out. But yeah. Thanks for tuning into the podcast, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Next week for another awesome episode. Big thanks to Maddie Blades and Organ Grinders for the intro and outro music. You can listen to more of their tunes on SoundCloud. Just go to soundcloud.com/Maddie Blades or soundcloud.com/Organ Grinders, both all one word. And remember, true love is like Christmas at Disneyland full of puppies, unless you choose to focus on the lions and the heat and the expensive food.